This morning's scripture is from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified and then remembered that these things had been written of him, had been done to him. So the crowd had been with him when they called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
The day before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he's at Bethany at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. This is the dinner where Mary takes a pound of costly perfume and anoints Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. Such a beautiful image that reminds us that in several days, Jesus will show his disciples that what Mary has just done is exactly how he wants us to live in this world. Remember, Jesus is eating with his disciples, and then he takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, bends down, and washes his disciples' feet, a sign of extravagant love and service. Mary has already embodied that extravagant love and service as she anoints and wipes Jesus' feet. Another great part of this dinner party that Jesus attends before he enters Jerusalem is that Lazarus is sitting at the table eating with Jesus. Lazarus is sitting and eating just like everybody else. Now, why do I sound so surprised? Well, remember, we started out Lent with the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The Gospel of John lets us know that Lazarus was really resurrected as he sits and eats at a dinner party for Jesus. The whole party is filled with life and extravagant love and service. People heard that Jesus was in town, and I'm sure we would have wanted to see the person that has brought so much life to the world. So the crowds came to see him, but they also came to see Lazarus. Lazarus, the one who came back from the dead, the one who has firsthand knowledge of the life-giving power of Jesus. The religious leaders are already done with Jesus, and they have planned that he must die. But now they add another person to their hit list, Lazarus. He has to go. People are believing in Jesus because what was once dead is now alive. The day after this incredible time with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and all the other guests, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and oh my goodness, talk about a welcome. All the people who have heard what Jesus has been doing and the life that he has restored took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, bless us, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." This is a real hero's welcome. Palm branches were waved at celebrations of victories, political victories, victory at war, victorious games, you name it. And you'll be able to tell I wrote this part of the sermon before the hockey game last night. It's sort of like the parade we thought we would have when the Gopher hockey team won last night. Oh, but now Union gets to have that nice little parade. But the people lining the streets, think of any hero's welcome and victory parades that we hold. People may hold flags instead of palm branches, but the palm branches signify the same thing. We're excited. We've got signs of congratulations. And that's what greets Jesus as he goes into Jerusalem. A crowd celebrating a victorious king, the King of Israel, the one who has come in the name of God. I can't help but think that between the dinner party the night before and the hero's welcome the next day, the disciples must be riding pretty high too. Don't you know they're saying to people, yeah, we're with him. Yeah, we're with the king, walking along. And it's no wonder that the crowd believed him to be some sort of king. Jesus, as we read, finds a young donkey and rides on it. And those who knew the Old Testament would know that kings ride on donkeys and mules. Horses were for wars and battles. Jesus in no way humbled himself as he rode into Jerusalem. He rode in as a king. Not a victorious warrior, though. Not sure the crowd or the disciples really understand that. But it doesn't matter, right? Hosanna, save us. We're giving you a victorious warrior welcome. Hosanna. If we could just end the story right here. Nice dinner party. Yeah, the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus, but a really nice parade. And heroes welcome. I apologize. I think it's my hair. Is it? Okay. Really nice parade and heroes welcome. We now have our king who is going to take care of the Roman government, and we will be the ones in charge. Oh, how we wish. We know from all of the sermons this Lent, things go from wonderful to not so wonderful for Jesus and the disciples pretty quickly. Somehow, after offering life and love, Jesus winds up flogged, dressed in purple, a crown of thorns on his head, nailed to a cross, and as Deb shared with the children and with us, a sign that says, King of the Jews, above his head. What happened? We were all about the hosannas. We were all about the waving of the palms. This is the one who will be victorious. He will overthrow the Roman government, and we will have life. What happened? Friday night, the Irreverent movie crew met here for our monthly Irreverent movie night. We decided last month that we would watch The Last Temptation of Christ. Now, for those that are old enough to remember, this 1980s movie is based on a 1950s novel by Nikos Kazantzakis. I was living in Atlanta when the movie came out, and I can remember groups picketing the movie theater where it was being shown, as well as letters to newspapers, letters and flyers being delivered to churches all over the metro Atlanta area. I had no desire to see this movie that everyone was condemning, so I'd never seen it until this past Friday night. Surprisingly, I think we only had one person, right, that had seen it? Or did anybody? Did we have one? No, nobody that was there had seen the movie. It's amazing. Now, there are some very strange scenes in the movie, if you have seen it. And there are some very beautiful scenes, right, Elaine, in the movie? And I would venture to say that there are scenes that left us uncomfortable. I know that several of us had weird dreams on Friday night. It is one of those movies that just stays with you. When the movie was over, you could actually hear a pin drop in the room, which was amazing. We're not usually that quiet. There was so much to absorb as well as trying to hold on to that the movie is based on a novel, not on the Bible. Yet there was so much that was biblical, that was intertwined, that it was hard sometimes to separate the biblical from the novel. We love to discuss the movies after we watch them, which is why we love to watch them in a group. This was a long movie, almost 3 hours, so I figured the discussion would be short. We started the movie after 7, so it's 10 o'clock at night, but I was wrong. We had a great discussion. The movie had a Palm Sunday scene. Jesus comes into Jerusalem with his disciples. People are waving palm branches. Jesus gets on a donkey, rides through Jerusalem to the temple. The people are yelling, Hosanna, God save us, you're the one, you are our king. In the movie, Jesus makes it to the temple steps, and the Roman soldiers are all around keeping order. Jesus speaks about life and love, and then his disciples say something along these lines. I don't have this right, but it's along these lines of, just say the word, Jesus, and we'll have the crowd, and we can take the Roman soldiers. Just say the word. This is it. This is the day. You are our king. Just say the word. And Jesus, who could have said the word and been the hero of the day,
walks away. The disciples aren't happy. The crowd that followed isn't happy. It was one of the moments in the movie when the reality of Jesus not being the Messiah that everyone had hoped for came alive for me. The people wanted a Messiah of power and might, violent power and might, so violent and so powerful that they would have what they wanted. I shared with our wonderful movie crew that while I was watching the movie, I began to wonder if I would have believed Jesus was the Messiah. The movie was not made for evangelistic purposes, by the way, but if I knew nothing about Jesus except what I saw in this movie, would I believe he was the Messiah? And my answer to my own question was no, I would not. Now, the movie made the reality of lack of food, diseases, oppression very real. In the face of this reality, Jesus was healing people. But there was no sign that he was going to take on the Roman government with force. Instead, he was talking about love, talking with women, raising Lazarus from the dead, sharing meals with his disciples, just like the Jesus we find in the Gospel of John. No. If I had not been taught as a child about Jesus, and you tried to tell me as an adult that lives in this world today, that I would yell Hosanna for a king that wants to change the world by using love and offering people life in the midst of death, when we have violence all around us and drugs and diseases and people that have no food and hatred and bigotry and poverty, no. I would want a king that used every bit of power and might possible to change the world so that I would have what I need, just like the crowd. Instead, today we yelled Hosanna for a king who offered a way for us to live that would change the world. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Today we yelled Hosanna for a king who never used force or might. Instead, a king who showed us the absolute love of God and the abundance of grace that God showers upon us. Today, we yelled Hosanna for a king who can offer life in the darkest spaces of death. And when we realize that to follow this king, we may have to change, when we realize that we don't get to use power and might, when we realize the sense of us being victorious as we understand it, isn't going to happen. We crucify the one who showed us what absolute love of God and love of God's creatures looks like. We even want to kill anything that has life because of his love. What is it about our need to be victorious? Why do we need God on our side and God to smite our enemy? We have struggled these weeks through these stories in the Gospel of John. And I have avoided these texts in John for years. Because there is nothing that brings us to our knees more quickly, nothing that tears open our hearts more quickly than realizing the incredible love that Jesus offered the world and the world's response. Would I have believed back then? Probably not. Do I believe today? With every fiber of my being. Hosanna! God save us! Hosanna! God have mercy on us all. Amen.